Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. I taught this last Thursday at our Master's Camp Recovery Center for about 15 men that are in recovery for addiction. And I did that on purpose because it's a brand new message for me, and I've never preached it. I've read it dozens of times, and I love the story. It's in 2 Samuel 2, verse 12. I never thought in a million years that God would give me an application for the message because it's so radical and wild. I didn't think there was going to be an event or a time that I'd be able to preach this. Yet God has given me a very good opportunity through so many things that are going on in my personal life and around my ministry and around the world. So we're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. When I went through it with these recovering addicts, I asked them to give me some input, because when I teach sometimes I want to know if it's resonating or if it makes sense. And a lot of them gave me some input, but they also told me to tell you guys, because a lot of times, and I made the joke Wednesday that I was going to teach it to you guys on Wednesday. I was going to teach this Sunday, but it's really not for us. You guys are just going to be kind of like guinea pigs, because, you know, our church, we don't have anybody in our church that has ever chased after the wrong thing and or is currently chasing the wrong thing and going too hard and too fast in the wrong direction. We don't have any. I know that's not going on here. That's only going on in the world and in recovery centers and jails and prisons. You cannot relate to running in the wrong direction too fast, too long, and not listening to anyone. And there's no one in here right now that is just running in the wrong direction. So I know you can't use this. So maybe you can give me some input after the service and let me know, you know, that would help them. Because a lot of times in church, if we think it's going to help somebody or we can help somebody, it's good. But we never really want to help us, because we don't want to admit a lot of times that maybe we are running in the wrong direction and doing the wrong things. And if you are this morning, I hope this hits you the way it hit me. 2 Samuel, have I gave you enough time to find 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12? I've stalled as long as I can. And Abner, the son of Ner, is that what y'all are seeing? And Abner, the son of Ner, I'm just going to teach you guys like that I know you and I love you and I care about you. I'm just going to teach you the way I taught you. Can I tell y'all something before I get started there? I almost left off one of the biggest things. God woke me up this morning. As soon as he woke me up, he told me, he just spoke right in my spirit. He didn't audibly speak. He just spoke to my spirit. He said, you're going to try to tell some people to do some things to help them and to save them and rescue them. But what if they don't listen to you because you don't listen to God? Is there anybody in your life that you're trying to help? And you're trying to tell them what to do, but it won't seem like they won't listen to you? Can you go back maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, even a year, and see how you've been listening to God? And you're wondering, while the person won't listen to you, because they're treating you just like you treat God. I want to steal from Stephanie. I'm not telling you that because I'm looking at you and telling you that. I'm telling that from my point of view. What if I have to reach down to a son or a daughter and say, please don't do that. That's dangerous. But then they look at me and say, well, it must not be too dangerous because you don't listen to God. you don't read, you don't pray, you don't attend, you don't go after him with your whole heart. So what's a little bit of Jesus going to do? He just told me this morning, if you're struggling with something in your family, you know, a lot of times, God, I'm going to wreck my whole message this morning. What he was really saying, let me boil it down for you, if you would start chasing after Jesus with your whole heart and your whole mind, then maybe they'll turn and come with you. Amen? Maybe they'll say, hey, Dad's serious about Jesus now. Mom's serious. My wife's serious about this. My husband's serious about this. Because I can tell people how to get out. But if it's not real, if it's not passionate, they're not going to listen. Amen? I'm the pastor here. I can say it. There's a lot of people attending this church, but they're not in relationship with Christ. They're doing a lot of stuff here, but they're not plugged into the main thing here. And right now, you might be in a situation where you got some kids that are so little and so young that you don't have to worry, because the only thing they do is they get in fights, they get dirty, they won't take a bath. But one day soon, sooner than you think, you're going to have to tell them some stuff. And are they going to look at you and say, you're halfway doing it? And I'm not one of these people who can do halfways. When I was lost, I was lost. Don't make fun of me. Don't laugh. I'm just saying, when I was lost, I ran hard in the world. I did. There was no doubt about it. I wasn't no hypocrite. I wouldn't go to church. When I went to church, I was like, man, this is hard stuff. God said, all I want to do with you, Kevin, all I wanted to do with you is turn you around. I didn't want you to get turned and then be comfortable. I want the same passion, the same wild, the same excitement, that same love for me as you had for the world. And I want them to see it. That's what he wants from you. He wants your relationship with Christ to permeate down through your family. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I know. I don't even know how to get into this. And Abner, the son of Ner, and the servant of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim Gibeon. That's not the right pronunciation. And Joab, the son of Zerah, the servant of David, went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, let the young man now arise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. Joab and Abner represent two kingdoms. One's descending, one's ascending. God's behind one and he's pushing them up. And one has been removed, God has been removed from, and it is descending. They are both still in the fight for power. They are still in the struggle to be in control. Both of them have leaders. Saul's son has been deemed the next leader, and David has been deemed the next leader. But God is only in one. Amen? Sometimes when kingdoms arise and fall, when you're in the middle of it, you can't tell who's winning or losing. Like right now, if you ask most people, would you say the church, is it winning or is it losing? Is God's kingdom winning or is it losing? To Abner, he would have said, we've still got a chance to win. The devil says today, I still got a chance to win. And I'm going to fight for mine. But God says, my kingdom. I hope you get this. Even when you can't see it. Even when you can't feel it. My kingdom is rising. My kingdom is coming. See, this David character that's rising up and his kingdom that's rising, it's not David's kingdom that's rising. It's God's kingdom. See, in the lineage of David is Jesus. And nothing, God, I wish y'all get this, nothing can stop Jesus. Nothing. Some of y'all say, well, they'll put it in prison. Can't stop it in prison. That's the only thing that you can put in prison that will spread through the prison and never get stopped. You can't beat it to death. You can't starve it to death. And good Lord, you can't crush it. Because when you crush it, it goes out harder, faster, better, and purer. Amen? I'll say that again. It goes out purer. See what they did when they put Jesus on the cross? They thought, we have ended it. And Jesus said, no, what you have done just like Mary had done with her alabaster box of ointment. It was good while it was in the box. But once you break it and open it up and spill it out, it is perfect. Amen? It is perfect. Jesus' kingdom is rising. David is rising. He's coming up. But these two men sat down. I see the Bible like a movie a lot of times. I see these old war, these veteran warriors, Abner, amen, and Joab sitting right across the pool from each other. And they've got a lot of experience. They know what war's about. They know what death's about. They know what fighting is about. They know what it's about. And they try to handle a civil war. They try to handle a civil war neatly and compactly. You can't do it. You can't take Satan and God and handle it neatly. You can't, but they tried. Let's choose us out some people and let them play for it. Let's choose two teams. Man, it's like a good sport, right? Watch this right here. Watch. And Abner and Joab said, let them arise. Then there arose, watch this verse, and then there arose and went over by the number of 12 of Benjamin, and pertaining to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, the 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in the fellow's side. So they fell down together, wherefore the place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. These 12 men from each side got up and went out. And when I first start reading it, they're going to have some competition. They're going to kind of fight and spar, and whoever wins. And then it said they grabbed each other by their head and they thrust their swords in each other's side. I wanted you to understand this number 12 is government. It's rule. Guess what? Satan has a rule. He has a government. He is orderly. He does things orderly. He does things for his side, and he is relentless. He is an adversary, and he will destroy your life. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Some of y'all might want to write this down because I'm not saying it just to be fun and cool. Listen to this. The devil has come to steal and to kill and destroy. His plan never changes. And you want to write this down right there. No matter who you are. Let me say it the way I would say it. No matter how cute you are. No matter how pretty you are, no matter how popular you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how much money you have, no much how many friends you have, no matter how politically you're connected you are, it doesn't matter. The devil is come to steal, kill, and destroy. And it doesn't matter what it looks like early. That is his ultimate plan. Amen? All right? You need to understand that, because sometimes we'll think that we're winning or we're gaming the system. But guess what? David's kingdom, he had 12 men. Guess what? They were there as well. And guess what? God is in order. He's in complete order. Amen? He is. He is in complete order. He does everything perfectly. He does everything in order. He does everything right. And he has people that are just as passionate, just as in love, just as on fire as they are for the world. Amen? And when you're on either one side or the other, there's no doubt about it. You're either in the enemy's camp, you're in God's camp. You're either fighting for the enemy or you're fighting for God. Amen? And these men fought and it spilt over. Could you imagine that? A real blood and guts battle spills over and turns into an all-out war. Kind of sounds like America today, don't it? We've got two sides of this country. And it seems like we're trying to handle it cleanly, but it's getting ugly. Amen? It's getting uglier. And people are dying. And guess what? Here they are. They're fighting at that thing and it spills over. In verse 18, and there And there were three sons of Zerah. This is kind of important. Zerah is a very rich character right here. Zerah, this is the father. And there was Joab, Zerah, Joab, Abishai, and Azazel. Joab, Abishai, and Azazel. These are Zerah's three sons. Joab is the leader. He is a general. Abishai is a very competent and very well-fought man. He is right under Joab. And Azazel, and listen to how they explain him. Azazel was the youngest and was light of foot as a wild roe. If a deer was shot at by a gun, this man could run with that deer. Amen? If a deer was frayed out of its mind and was running for its life, Azazel could run just as fast. That when somebody sees you run, like Scott was talking about earlier, do they ever compare you to a wild roe? Amen? Azazel said when he would take off running, people would say, man, he runs like a deer. But the only problem with him was he was young. Amen? He was the youngest of the three. And sometimes if we're not careful, when we don't have all the information and we hadn't had the experience, we'll start running and we'll stop listening. We'll start running and we'll stop listening and we'll take our age as an offense. I don't want to be young. I don't want to be the youngest one. I don't want to be the little one. I don't want to be the one that's determined because of my age of what I can and what I can't do. Azazel looks at his older brother and says, y'all might be tough, but y'all can't outrun me. You can't. And one day, when I get the chance, I'm going to run, and I'm going to be better than both of y'all. Have you ever tried to prove everybody wrong? Have you ever tried to prove everybody wrong by running in the wrong direction at the wrong thing? Amen? Just to show them you could. I'm the youngest brother. Amen? I could outrun my brother. I used to do stuff on purpose just to make him mad where I could outrun him. Amen? Now, it was bad sometimes because I wouldn't get a good start. And I would pay the price. Because my brother used to like to get on my, he'd put his knees on my shoulders. And he would sit on top of me. And the only thing I can remember about him, he must have ate a lot of peanut butter. Because he'd always have peanut butter breath. And I would always be like, man, you need to stop eating that peanut butter. But most of the time, if I could get a good start and get a couple of steps out ahead of him, I could look back and laugh at him and say, you can't catch me. You ain't no way you can catch me. Right? That's what Azazel did. He was a fast runner, wild as a buck, could run, and he was young. Amen? Y'all good? Are y'all in on this? Watch this right here. And then Azazel pursued after Abner. Do y'all remember who Abner is? Abner is the old warrior, the guy who's, hey, listen, let's just put right here, Abner is the enemy. Abner is sin. Abner is drugs, alcohol, sex, any sex outside of marriage, anything that God says is wrong, that let's just put that under Abner, amen? Abner is a warrior and not to be messed with, amen? He will destroy you and not even blink, amen? When I was teaching those guys over at the camp, they said, be sure to make that point about Abner. He's undefeated. He's undefeated. You can't beat him. No matter how you think you can. Because sometimes when we get in our sin, we could have a whole laundry list of people who failed in sin. But you know what? We won't never take it. That don't apply to me. I don't overdose. I can't happen to me. Amen? I can't get a divorce. I can't get anybody pregnant. I can't get pregnant. Amen? We say dumb stuff. I can't go to jail. I can't get pulled over. I'm smarter than that. Amen. Oh, I wish I had some real people in here. You thought, well, I could never. Amen. But the rules apply. Abner applies to you. Amen. Abner applies to you. And I would, Azazel is on his, he's running after Abner. And Azazel was after Abner, and he's going to turn not to the right. Let me go to verse 19, read it slower. And Azazel pursued after Abner. And in his going, he turned not to the right and nor to the left from following Abner. Okay? He is in pursuit of Abner. And listen to this. He won't turn. When I say that, when you hear that a couple times in this message, he won't repent. He won't turn to the left or the right. He won't turn away from pursuing the wrong thing, the thing that's ultimately going to destroy him. He's pursuing death. For the wages of sin is death. Amen? That equation doesn't change. Amen? When lust and sin get together equals, they always have a baby called death. That never changes, no matter who you are. And guess what? Azazel, he is running after Abner, and he has got his eyes focused. And guess what? I think about his father and his two brothers. I think of his dad going, Azazel, slow down! But he is running so fast, he's got outside of earshot of his dad. His brothers are like, Azazel, you got to slow down! And he's gotten too far away. Some of y'all are running so fast and so far that you'll run past your good counsel. So some of y'all need to hear this right here. Some of y'all've got your information. Where you get your information messed up. Mom, dad, enemy. Friends know better than my mom or my dad. Amen? Some of y'all have got that messed up. And I'm going to help y'all with this real quick. Because I've been both. But I'm going to tell you something here. Your parents are the only people on the face of this planet that will lay their lives down for you and not question it. They're the only person who said, if we can get a heart, they can live. They'll say, cut the heart out of me and put it in them. No doubt about it. Amen? They can't operate. You've only got two lungs. They need two lungs. Take my two lungs. Your friends are not going to do that. I don't know if you know this or not, but the people who changed you, fed you, clothed you, put up with your super-duper attitude. Amen? Amen? They've done that. When you ran a fever, they stayed up all night. They didn't sleep. My God. They kept their hand on you and prayed. Amen? Have you ever been there, moms and dads, where you didn't know what else to do and that thermometer keeps rising and you don't know what else to do, but you just start praying and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ? If you don't do that, you need to start, because I sat there through the night and went, God, Jesus, I don't know what you're doing, but God, I need you here in this room right now. I need you. Those are the people that love and care for you, and they have a track record for loving and caring for you. So don't forget that in the mix. Don't overrun the people who love you the most. They're out there ahead of the game. Azazel's so far into this, and he won't turn to the left or to the right. Verse 20, then Abner looked behind him and said, art thou Azazel? And he answered, I am. Y'all stick with me for a little bit, because this isn't, listen, Abner is a killer. And he knows your name. Satan knows your name. He knows how you operate. Your sin knows you as good as you know you. Amen? I love what he does. He turns around and he said, is that you, Azazel? Azazel says, answers him back, it's me. Running in the wrong direction, too fast, too furious, not listening. But he's listening to the enemy. He's close enough to hear him. Abner goes, is that you? Can y'all get this picture? Guys, men, can y'all get this with me real quick? This man is in a chariot being pulled by horses. And Azazel is on foot. Now, y'all, this is where the Bible just kind of comes alive for me. Here's Abner riding at full stride with a horse, turns over his shoulder. Azazel, is that you? Azazel's in a full sprint. It's me! It's amazing how clear of a message and how clear of a thought it is when you are running in the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing. It's like, oh my gosh, you're having a conversation at full speed going in the wrong direction. Amen? Some of y'all are fast. You need to slow down. Some of y'all are running too fast to the wrong direction after the thing. This is what the guys wanted me to tell you. This is what they said. Hey, you make sure you tell those church folks this. This is exactly where they wanted me to tell you. Because this is where most of them either almost died or they got in trouble, or they ended up having to go in recovery and be in a rehab. It seems like Abner is out of control and the weaker, and it looks like Asael is the stronger and in control and is going to end up winning. It seems. Sin for a season seems good. Abner is death. And Abner sometimes can look like it ain't going to kill me. Let me say it this way. You never take drugs. Drugs take you. Amen? Sexual relationships, you don't choose how those are going to end. You only get to choose how they start. Because there's such things as blood work. There's such things as if they would lie to you early, they're going to lie to you late. Oh, never mind. I forgot where we're at. We're at church. I'm sorry. We can't say certain things in church, because if we say them here, then we can just wait until we're dealing with them. And when they come in here and we get to deal with them, we can deal with them in my office, but we can't deal with them from the pulpit, right? Next thing you know, you don't get to choose how the sin's going to end up. You don't get to choose how it's going to end. But sometimes you can think you're running better than you are. Amen? You can think, man, they were, God, I wish I had like two people in here would be real, real, real honest with me. There was a couple times in my sin when I said, my mom and dad were crazy. I'm having the time of my life. I'm running wide open. And then I caught some of the consequences. And I wish I could tell you today, I would go back 100 times over and not pay for some of the stuff that I was doing, that I was having the time of my life doing. I wish I could go back and say, this is going to end in death for somebody. This is going to end up in trauma and pain and heartache for somebody. Amen? Azel keeps running. What's this? And Abner's talking to him. Verse 20, and Abner said unto him, turn thee aside, repent, to the right hand or the left, to lay thee a hold on one of the young men and take thee his armor. But Azel would not turn aside from following him. You know what he's saying? He goes, you could probably whoop one of these other guys, but you can't beat me. You need to stop and turn, repent. I'm going to tell you that again. Repent. Repent means turning from your wicked ways. Repentance is not coming to an altar and making a prayer. That's the first step. The next step is turning from that in your actions. It's confession with your mouth, and then your heart says, I'm not going back. Amen? I'm not going in the same direction. Repentance is turning, and that's 180 degrees. I'm going this way, now I'm going that way. That's repentance. That's change. That's different words. That's different actions. Let me say it really clearly. That's different motives. A lot of times we're operating in different motives. Amen. When you start operating for God, you're operating in different motives. Even when you do wrong, when you're serving God, if your motive is not wicked, guess what? That can be forgiven and changed. He wouldn't turn again. He's got 2 or 3 opportunities to turn. And there's somebody sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. People are telling you on a regular basis, turn, 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 and you won't turn. The consequences are coming up faster than you can imagine. And Abner again said, turn. Turn aside. Look at this. Abner said again to Azael, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold my face to Joab thy brother? I can't even look at your family. I'm going to destroy you. It don't sound right, does it? You'd think, well, wait a minute, Azael's doing good. He's pursuing strong. He's in the prime of his life. He's young. He's strong. He's fast. He's got this. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. If you don't turn, Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of his spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died at the same place. And it came to pass that many as came to the place where Azel fell down and died and stood still. See what I just said? He died, and he fell flat on his face, and everybody came and looked right at him. And you know what they said? Boy, he sure was fast. What a waste. He was young. What a waste. He was probably going to, about everybody in this room is going to fall under this. He was probably going to do something great for the kingdom. But there he lays because he wouldn't stop chasing the wrong thing. And he wouldn't turn. He wouldn't repent. And the enemy slew him in that spot. And I'm going to be honest with you. I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of people who die in that spot. And you know what? You can't explain that away. You can get all the funeral. You can get all the preachers. You can get all the singing. You can go back to their 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old. They did this. They did that. But praise God, when the enemy stabs you through and leaves you laying on the street, you know what? It's kind of hard to put you in heaven. Somebody didn't like that, but I'm not here to make you happy. When God changes your life, you turn. When he gets a hold of you, you turn. We try to put too many people in heaven. I preached a lot of funerals. One thing I can't ever do is I can't put anybody in heaven. And I can't take anybody out of hell. Can't. It's about whether they were saved or not. And I hate to tell you this too, but you're preaching your funeral as you go through this life. Somebody eulogize you. Somebody will say a message for the people that arrive at the funeral. But everybody knows who you are and what you're about. That's the truth. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner. The sun went down when they come to the hill of Ammah and lieth before Gaia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of the hill. And Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then? How thou bid the people to turn from the following their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hast spoken surely, then in the morning the people had gone up, every one from following his brother." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan and went through all of Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servant 19. Listen to this right here. There lacked servants of 19 men of Asael and Azael. But the servants of David had smitten Benjamin and Abner. Some 300 men died. And they took up Azael and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at the break of day. Stephanie, come on up. Oh, here's what I want to tell you. This is why I read all that last part. Is after the battle, after the Civil War broke out, Abner was on the run, amen? And a truce was sounded not long after. They took a shofar, the trump of God, and they blew it, right? They blew it right before the funeral of Azael, amen? Azael was buried right after the trump of truce had been sounded. Matter of fact, this is what God really pressed on my heart, and he wants me to tell you this, and some of you that are struggling today and running after the wrong thing, I want you to hear this from God's heart, from my mouth. He said Azel was running after the enemy who had already been defeated. He was running in the wrong direction, chasing death of a battle that had already been won. He died in the pursuit when he didn't have to pursue, that thing had already been defeated. And some of y'all are saying, well, Kevin, what's that got to do with us this morning? The battle that you're waging against your sin has already been won. You're chasing after death that's already been defeated. And what I'm afraid is some of you that's going to be raised in this church or around this church or attended this church are going to miss heaven because you were chasing something and the voice of reason on a regular basis in here is we're telling you, and I know we seem old and outdated, and we got a message that seems old and outdated. We're asking you to repent and turn to God before the enemy destroys you, the enemy that's already been defeated. God can give you victory and give you a place called heaven, but he could also give you a life that's uncomparable to your old life, full of joy, full of peace, full of happiness, amen, and full of himself. I would encourage you today, if you're one of these people in this room that's chasing after the wrong thing, turn. Turn to the left, or turn to the right. Turn. If you're somebody in this room that's concerned about somebody who's running in the wrong direction, you need to come to God with your whole heart. There shouldn't be a time when we open this church door that you don't come and you don't run to the altar and say, I'm going to keep going after Jesus until he does something. That's old-fashioned. There's a term in the old church. It's not used anymore. Not even hardly used, not even touched anymore in the modern church. It's, we pray for our salvation. That's a free gift. But in the old church, they used to call it praying through. No, nobody talks about that anymore. Because salvation is so quick and easy. Sometimes you got to pray through some things. Some of y'all need to put some prayers on credit out there. My boys are doing good right now, God, but when they run into trouble. My daughters are good right now, but when they run into trouble. My boys ain't doing good right now, Lord. Send the hounds of heaven out after them. My girls ain't doing good right now. God, send the hounds of heaven out after them. Some of y'all go, does it work? Does that work, Kevin? Does it work? You know why I know it works? Because I'm standing here. A daddy, 1986, got saved. And all he did was get on an old-fashioned altar and said, I've got a boy named Kevin, and he's running from you. I was in the United States Marine Corps. From 1993 to 1997, I was flying to Rota, Spain on my way to Italy. And we landed in Rota, Spain. And this is the only, I was drunk out of my mind. And the pilot came over the intercom system and said, buckle up. Buckle up and get in a position in case we crash. Drunk out of my mind. I couldn't even hardly buckle the belt. I began to bend down like this, and we landed the plane. I don't know how in the world. And then I started to walk out of the plane and look down, and every emergency vehicle they had was turning around and going the other way. I got saved when I was 31 years old, August 28 of 04. And the first thing God said is, I spared you because somebody was praying for you. And I had a calling on your life. Some of y'all mothers and fathers out there, you need to start bombarding heaven about your kids. Because they can outrun you. And they can outrun your voice. But they can't outrun God. Let's all stand as they sing a song of invitation.